ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नोति विस्सीदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः। ॐ यश्चन्दसां ऋषभो विश्वरूपम् ॐ ह्रीं ॐ We need grace for everything, for the pursuit of moksha, for the pursuit of knowledge, for any artha pursuit, kama pursuit, dharma pursuit, jnanam pursuit, moksha, for every pursuit, to pursue anything in life, to accomplish anything in life, to be successful in anything in life, to be able to complete any endeavor in life. We need grace. And we need grace for especially self-knowledge. We need grace for everything. And then when we have Purushartha Nischayaha, okay, Purushartha Nischayaha is one term I want to become very, very clear. Purushartha Nischayaha, okay, Vaalkaiyil Kurikkolai Patriya Urudhi. This is my ultimate goal, that clarity. So once you have Purushartha Nischayaha, then you know moksha is your choiceless goal. Then jnanam is the only means for that accomplishing that goal, end. And in fact, even though jnanam and moksha are said to be means and the end, the very jnanam is an ultimate end, because knowledge of the reality and discovery of happiness, knowledge of happiness are one and the same. Therefore, knowledge and the moksha, means and the end, are identical. Once it becomes very clear, and we know the value of knowledge, therefore we become real aspirants. We really aspire for knowledge. In the deep desire for knowledge is there. Knowledge of the truth is there. So the deep desire, fervent desire for knowledge, in fact, does not stop you from pursuing any other end. If you have firm desire for knowledge of the reality, that should not stop you from pursuing eating and drinking and doing anything else. You have to pursue artha to live your life. You need to have some pleasures also. But you know the limitations of artha kamas. And you know the value of dharma. Therefore, you live a life of dharma also. At the same time, you are conscious of your ultimate end being moksha in the form of knowledge. And you are committed to the pursuit of that moksha. Know the value of moksha and knowledge. We are pursuing it. But still you need grace. For jnanam also Bhagavan's grace, you make efforts. You study Shastra, you live a life of dharma with the teacher, somehow find time to attend the classes. No? And still we also need what? We have to have efforts we are making. And we need also what? Along with our efforts. Without our efforts, Bhagavan's grace we cannot have. If you make efforts, and you also need Bhagavan's grace for success. Success of anything always depends upon three factors. I told you in the very beginning once. One's own efforts and grace and time. You have to wait for the time. If you don't make efforts at all, if you simply pray Bhagavan's grace, you cannot win. And mere efforts without seeking grace also will not make you successful. So make adequate efforts, sincere, genuine efforts, and also be prayerful, seek Bhagavan's grace, so that definitely you will have success. You will be successful in any achievement. So similarly here, for this pursuit of knowledge, for jnanam also, even though after all, the reality of the whole jagat has to be understood as the Swarupam of one's own self, as the truth of oneself, as the meaning of the word I, even the self-knowledge, not even, this self-knowledge also is what? Very much depend upon the grace. And we invoke the grace of the Lord. Whose grace we invoke? Lord's grace. Who is the Lord? For us the whole Jagat is Ishvara Bhagavan. But we seek the Lord's grace. When we have, especially we have obstacles in life, we seek the grace of the Lord as the remover of obstacles. Then we call him Ganapati. When we seek the grace of the Lord, for especially for knowledge, self-knowledge, spiritual knowledge, then we seek the grace of the Lord as the bestower of the spiritual knowledge, as the teacher of the spiritual knowledge, Dakshinamurti. Why we worship Dakshinamurti? Who is Dakshinamurti? Dakshinamurti is the personification of the source of knowledge. And Dakshinamurti is worshipped and prayed specially for grace. Invoked as the bestower of Bhagavan, as the bestower of spiritual knowledge. As an Adi Guru, foremost of the beginningless lineage, the beginning link of the beginningless lineage of teachers. That's why we have Dakshinamurti. And that's what luckily we meet on specially on Thursdays. And Guru Vasare we meet. That's why at least here I chant the mantra. It's good. To invoke the grace of Dakshinamurti, the Adi Guru, Bhagavan himself, the Lord himself, the Lord, the whole, the universal natural order, law and order himself. I use the word himself for want of words, okay? Don't take it seriously. Bhagavan is a masculine gender word. We say Bhagavan himself. For us, Bhagavan is neither he nor she. You know that. So we invoke the grace of the Lord, the whole, as the bestower of spiritual knowledge. Then we look at Bhagavan as Dakshinamurti. That's why this mantra we chant. The teaching goes like this. We have analyzed the Purusharthas, Artha Kama Dharma Mokshaha, and we know the connection between knowledge of the reality and the Mokshaha, the ultimate end. So now we know the value of knowledge of the reality as the self. And we are interested in, not only we are simply interested, and we are, when we want to know what the self is, and I told you in the previous classes how Shastram helps us to distinguish the self from the non-self, thereby to arrive at what the self is. So the teaching is like this. The main problem, what is the problem, how the Shastram looks at it like this. What you seek is freedom from sorrow, freedom from limitations, freedom from emotional dependence, freedom from being insecure, freedom from being insecure, and freedom from being a wanting person. And freedom, okay, this is what is, we say freedom, if we can say all these words can be said. Used there. And this freedom from the unwanted, undesirable, is what we say mokshaha. And therefore we can, one word we can say, happiness. And I told you in the very beginning, happiness is the ultimate end. That means happiness is not a state of mind. Always we have to ask a question, if happiness is my ultimate end, and we may think, I'm already happy. I don't lack anything. I don't miss anything. I'm happy. I don't seek happiness, really. I'm already happy. People may come and tell me. Really speaking, whoever thinks that they're already happy, they do not know what they say. They do not know what happiness is. When we do not have problems in life, okay, when everything goes smoothly in life, we seem to be happy, we are not really happy. When everything is to our expectation, everything seems to be satisfactory and satisfying, we don't seem to be unhappy. Really speaking, we are not really happy. Why? Because if things do not go as smoothly as they are at present, then will they be able to continue to be happy? Is it possible for one to have to be happy always in all the situations, whether things are to one's expectation or things are not to one's satisfaction expectation? The situations change, will they be able to be happy? No. But as long as situations are okay, we seem to be happy. Situations, no, get disturbed. Or this, the conducive atmosphere gets disturbed. The setup, the conducive gets disturbed. Then definitely there will not be happiness. One cannot be happy. That is why, in fact, no human being has real happiness. Please understand. There is no such thing called happiness in one's real one, for any human being. One may have continuously pleasures, but not happiness. Even, you know, the person who doesn't suffer, who seems to be happy always, who enjoys good health and lot of money and all relatives and friends and lot of holidaying and everything is okay, everything is okay, perfect, even then there is only that person enjoys more of pleasures, but maybe he doesn't have pains at all in life, but still there is no such thing called happiness. Understand? Please understand. But what we really seek is happiness. Happiness means limitlessness. Happiness is not a state of mind. Oru manilai alla. This has to be very, very clear. And we are not really happy. Even if you are not unhappy, still you are not really happy. Happiness is not a state of mind. Happiness is what? Limitlessness. Limitlessness means what? Understand? Being, not being unhappy or sorrowful anywhere, everywhere, always, at any time. Understand? And with everybody and with anybody. Not being unhappy. Understand? So being happy always, everywhere, with everybody, in all the situations, whatever the situation, that is what is limitlessness, limitless happiness. So limitlessness is happiness. And we do not know what limitlessness is. We do not know what is being limitless. Therefore, we do not know what is happiness. Without knowing what happiness is, if we simply say, I am happy already, we mistake the pleasure for happiness. We mistake the time-bound sorrowlessness. When situations are okay and conducive and comfortable, okay, situations are desirable to our satisfaction, we mistake the satisfactory situations, okay, pleasurable situations for happiness. Really speaking, that is not happiness at all. Why? Because Shastram says, we do not know what happiness is. Not only that, we do not know that we do not know what happiness is, because we do not know the very reality, okay, which is of the nature of limitlessness, the happiness. Why? Because we do not even know the very self, which is also what? The reality. So the nature of happiness. That is why Shastram connects this. Come on. Happiness is limitlessness. And limitlessness or happiness are synonyms. And it is to be understood only as the nature of the reality of the whole prapanchaha. And the reality of the entire cosmos is available for understanding not anywhere, only as the very self, as the very nature of the self, as the very meaning of the word I. Therefore, self-knowledge is equal to the knowledge of the reality of the entire cosmos. And knowledge of the reality of the entire cosmos is what? Knowledge of what limitlessness is. Knowledge of what limitlessness is, in fact, knowledge of what happiness is. Knowledge of what happiness is, in fact, what? Freedom from limitations. So, accomplishing which, everything else becomes as well accomplished. That is why self-knowledge itself is what? Mokshaha, we say. That means, if we say self is what? Self is already there. The reality of the universe is already there. Therefore, happiness also is what? Already there. If we say sun is already there, then light cannot come into being later on. If sun is already there, the nature of the sun, light also is what? Already there. You cannot say first sun was there and the light came later on. You cannot say. Why? Because the inseparable nature. If fire is already there, heat also is already there. Similarly, we say the reality of the universe is already there. It is beginningless, endless and changeless. Therefore, the swarupam, the nature of the reality, the limitlessness also is what? Already there. Happiness already there. And not only it's already there, it will always be there. It does, understand, happiness does not come and go. Something which comes and goes cannot be limitlessness, cannot be infinitude, understand. Therefore, something which is already there, something which is already there, which will always be there, which will never go, which does not come and go, that is what is what? Eternity, that's what is happiness. Understand? Therefore, happiness is already there. Therefore, then do we really attain happiness? No, that's why I need to only discover what happiness which is already there. Discovering what is already there is what? Accomplishing the already accomplished. Therefore, really speaking, there's no real bondage and real freedom also. Do we really attain freedom then? No. We are attaining freedom as though. Why? This understand? This like saying, if you discover sun being bright, you don't know what the sun is. So you don't know what the brilliance is, what brightness is. And you come to know what sun is. And as the nature, intrinsic, inseparable nature of the sun, you also discover along with the discovery of sun, the brightness of the sun. Because you discover it newly, sun was never dark. Understand? Your discovery is only new. It is always bright. Therefore, similarly when you say the self is the happiness is already the nature of the reality, nature of the very self, then when was self bound? Self is never bound. Self is as though bound. Understand now? Self is never bound. Therefore, you are never bound. There is no real bondage. Therefore, the freedom also is as though. That is why you don't become happy. You only discover the happiness as the very nature. And the problem is what? You don't become big or anything. You only correct the notion you have about yourself here. And then the Shastram says, all these problems are because of the notion. What is the notion? I am small. The notion is the problem. The notion has to be corrected. I am small. And for correcting this notion, I am small, you are bound by this notion. Why this notion is there? Because of your wrong identity. What is the wrong identity? You mistake the non-self for the self. You do not know what the self is. You mistake the non-self for the self. And therefore, you mistake the non-self for the self. You superimpose all the limitations and attributes, qualities of the non-self upon the self. And you have a notion. Okay, I am small. And that notion drives you to become what? To become big. To be bigger than what you are. That is why there is a drive, that is why there is a desire, that is why all the actions, all the pressures, and all the time, all that we do, all our pursuits, artha pursuit, kama pursuit, dharma pursuit, all that we do, ultimately is impelled by one desire, of desire to be bigger than what I am. Understand? Why is this here is there? Because of the notion, I am small. So how much ever you do, how much ever you try to prove yourself to be different from what you are, still you continue to be the same, the problem continues to be there. The person is sick and he goes to the doctor, he is given medicine and he keeps on taking in medicine. And every time he takes medicine, his symptoms get suppressed. His symptoms go, but disease continues to be there. Understand? Every time he goes to the doctor, he has a problem. And this taking enough medicine helps him to only cure the symptoms, but the disease continues to be there. There's no way of getting rid of the disease. Why? He has not taken the medicine for the disease. His medicine is only for curing the symptoms. Like that here also, how much ever the desire to prove oneself to be different from what one is, all one's efforts to be bigger than what one is, all that he does is like what? Like the medicine for undoing the symptoms. But what is the disease here? The notion that I am small. So what is that medicine which can remove this disease of the notion of oneself being small? Nothing. No way. Because if really one is small, it is easy for one to find a medicine for that. One is not really small. It's only erroneous self-perception. Erring perception of oneself. I am small. It's an erroneous notion. So the medicine for that disease of erroneous self-perception is what? Correcting the perception of oneself. And the correction of perception of oneself, okay, correction is possible only if one has discriminative knowledge. One can correct the error in one's own perception of oneself only if he has a discriminative knowledge of what the self is, what the self is not. It is not enough simply one knows what the self is. It is not enough one simply knows what the non-self is. He should discriminatively know what the self is, what the self is not. Discriminative knowledge, pahuttu arivu, vivichya jnanam. Why do we need discriminative knowledge, pahuttarivu? Why do we need discriminative knowledge of what the self is, what the self is not, what reality is, what reality is not? Why do we need discriminative knowledge? It's just to correct one's own error in one's own perception of oneself. Correct one's error in perception of oneself, one needs is discriminative knowledge. And suppose if a person has discriminative knowledge of what self is, what the self is not, what the reality is, what reality is not, then with that knowledge one can have the right perception of one's own self. One have right perception of oneself. Then one does not mistake the non-self for the self. Then what happens? Even then, one has to understand Okay, oneself being non-separate from the whole. See, two things. First, one has to know what the self is, what the non-self is. Thereafter, one has to understand oneself being non-separate from the whole. That is next step. How can you understand yourself being non-separate from the whole? No, understand? How can one identify oneself, resolve one's individuality with the totality? That is where the real moksha is. One can really free oneself from all the sense of being small, this smallness, which is a big problem. No, one has to resolve one's identity with the totality. That is when one understands one's limitlessness. Really. The real moksha is in resolving one's identity with the totality. So this resolving one's identity with the totality is said to be understanding Jiva Ishvara Aikyam. Or it is understanding the oneness of the individual, oneness of the reality of the individual and the reality of the totality, the Lord, the whole. And this is possible. Understand, to understand, listen carefully, to free oneself from all limitations, to understand oneself being already limitless, to understand oneself being already limitless, one has to resolve one's identity with the totality, one has to understand oneself being non-separate from the whole, for which one needs to understand the oneness, okay, or the non-separateness, okay, oneness of the reality of oneself, okay, and the reality of the true, the whole. One has to understand the oneness of the reality of oneself and the reality of the whole. For the wave to think, I the wave am the ocean, the wave has to know the oneness of the truth of itself and the truth of the ocean being H2O. Only then the wave can resolve its identity with the totality, the ocean. That is when the wave really can become free from its notion of being small. Similarly, every individual has to, okay, understand one's non-separateness from the whole, and for which one needs to understand the oneness of the reality of oneself and the reality of the whole, which is otherwise called Jiva Ishvara Aikyam. And the Jiva Ishvara Aikyam, Aikya Jnanam, Jiva Ishvara Aikya Jnanam means what? Knowledge of the oneness of the reality of the individual and the total, the Lord, for which one needs to know first of all what the self is, what the self is not. Understand? That knowledge requires first self-knowledge. It sounds different, but it's very simple. It's not difficult. That is why the textbook presents, which I'm going to use here, 5 topics. What is the first topic he introduced here? First topic introduced is, I've been talking to you about the disciplines. And here the first is what? Individual, no? analysis. Analysis of the individual is the topic here. Analysis of the individual means what? Analysis of the microcosm. Analysis of the microcosm, we can say jiva vicharaha, or the enquiry into the nature of the individual self. And that is what we were doing. That's why I want to tell you this much today. What we were doing here? Enquiry into the nature of the individual self, or analysis of the microcosm, or analysis of the individual, or jiva vicharaha, jiva swarupa vicharaha, jiva swarupa vicharaha. So what we did to know the jiva swarupa vicharaha means what? We analyzed the individual. Okay, every individual human being is what? Is a combination of both Atma and Anatma. Every individual. Similarly, we are going to see the, later on we are going to see what? The analysis of the, we can say this analysis of the Vyashtihi. We can say Vyashti Vicharaha also. The individual means what? Vyashtihi. So, the analysis of the individual, or analysis of the microcosm, or Jiva Swarupa Vicharaha, or you can say Vyashti Vicharaha. Vyashti Vicharaha. And next is what? Samashti Vicharaha. Samashti means total. Samashtihi means what? Total. So, Samashti Vicharaha, or the analysis of the macrocosm, or the totality, analysis of the whole, the entire cosmos. Okay, first we do the analysis of the individual. Thereafter we do the analysis of the total. Samashti Vicharaha. Or you can say Ishvara Vicharaha. Ishvara Swarupa Vicharaha. First Jiva Swarupa Vicharaha, then, or you can say Vyashti Vicharaha. Other we can say Samashti Vicharaha or Ishvara Swarupa Vicharaha. Is it clear now? We have to both. Then we'll understand. This is second. Then we'll understand, Swarupam of the Jiva. And Jiva, okay, Swarupam of the Jiva and Swarupam of the Ishvara is what? One and the same. We have to do two analysis separately. Analysis of the microcosm, analysis of the macrocosm. Thereafter, we will be able to understand the oneness of the truth of the Jiva and the Ishvara, the individual and the total. And what we were doing here was all these classes talking about this Drid Drishya Viveka Prakaraha, and using the Prakriya, Drid Drishya Viveka Prakriya, Avasthatraya Prakriya, using these two Prakriyas, what I helped you to understand was to distinguish the self from the non-self. Why do we need to do that? We need to know the individual, in total properly. What is an individual? Individual is a combination of both Atma and Anatma. Is it clear? And here, we have a problem here itself. Anatma is mistaken for the Atma. Therefore, we have to tell what? We have to know discriminatively what Atma is, what the Anatma is. So, we saw in the last class, Anatma consists of three bodies. What are the three bodies? ஸ்தூல ஷரீரம், சூக்ஷ்ம ஷரீரம் அண்ட் காரண ஷரீரம். ரிமெம்பர் திஸ் நவ். அனாத்மனா ஒன்லி இண்டிவிஜுவல், we are talking about the total now. ஸ்தூல ஷரீரம் தி கிராஸ் பாடி, சூக்ஷ்ம ஷரீரம் தி சட்டில் பாடி அண்ட் காரண ஷரீரம் தி காசல் பாடி. ஆல் தீஸ் த்ரீ பாடிஸ் டுகெதர் கான்ஸ்டிடியூட் அனாத்மா. அண்ட் வாட் இஸ் ஆத்மா? ஆத்மா இஸ் பியோர் கான்சியஸ்னஸ். ஆத்மா இஸ் தி செல்ஃப். We are seeing that in the last class. And the Atma, the pure consciousness, it is available for recognition as only as the knower, only as the pure knowledge. Understand? Only pure awareness, the reality which is of the nature of knowing. Remember all those things? And the only evidence. This is what last class, I left the class there. Remember that Atma, the self, the meaning of the word I is what? The knower, available for recognition, understanding as the knower. Even though we call it knower, it's of the nature of knowing, this pure consciousness. And it is there as the witness, like the witness, it is there in all three states of experience. Because of the presence of which any experience is possible, that is pure consciousness, that is the Atma. Is it clear now? So Atma, you know, Atma is the meaning of the word I, means self. Meaning of the word Atma, meaning of the word I is what? Pure consciousness. What is its Swarupam? Knowing is Swarupam. And what is Anatma here? Three Shariram's, three bodies. What are the three bodies? Gross body, the tangible, perceptive for all of us. And subtle body, known to only oneself, not to others, which is subtle in nature. It is not perceptible. And I also said Karana Shariram, the causal body. And what is causal body? The causal body is that, the seed form of the subtle and gross body. Every big tree has its own causal form. So causal form of the tree is the seed. So causal form of the table is the wood. Causal form of the door is the wood. Causal form of the chain is the gold. So causal form of the ocean or wave is the water. Everything is what? Every object in this world has its own causal condition. It existed already in a potential form, in an unmanifest form. And it comes into manifestation. So before the subtle body and gross body became manifest, okay, it already existed, it was existing in a potential unmanifest condition, which is called causal body, which is Anatma. So what is an individual? Individual is combination of Atma, the consciousness, and Anatma, the three bodies. Is it okay? And now we say this Atma, the consciousness, is what? Beginningless. Consciousness has no beginning. It is timeless. It is endless. We saw all these things in the last class. I said why consciousness, the Atma, has no beginning. Because it has no cause. Why it has no cause? Because it is uncaused. Therefore, it is what is self-existent. The consciousness is self-existent. It does not depend upon anything else for its existence. It has independent existence. So anything which depends upon something else for its existence is what? Is the effect, understand? It has a cause. So here Atma is what? Atma is self-existent, means it has no cause. Causeless, uncaused, therefore it is beginningless. It is beginningless and also endless. Anything which is beginningless and endless is what? Also changeless. Therefore it is eternal. Timeless and eternal. That's why we said timelessness is the nature of the Atma. Eternity is the nature of the Atma. Anything which has a beginning cannot be said to be eternal. Why? Anything which has a beginning definitely has an end also. That beginningless, endless, changeless, timeless reality is consciousness. Therefore we say it's what? Causeless, self-existent consciousness. And what is it? Swarupam? Knowing. Is not an action. It is swarupam. Nature. Arivu swarupam. Paramparul. Jyoti Vadivinan we say in Tamil. Sodhi Vadivanavan Irevan Solramalla. This is what? Which is of the nature of knowing. Understand? We'll understand this later on. This much we know. This is Atma. It is such a changelessness also is the nature of the Atma. Atma does not undergo any change whatsoever. Subject to change at all. Always consciousness is, pure consciousness is of the nature of knowing. Understand? The word changeless. Always the same. This is the consciousness, which is the meaning of the word I, which is the Atma. We'll also understand more about the reality later on. Now you know this much. Now we'll come to what? Anatma. We also understand what the nature of the Anatma. Now we know this much of Anatma. The Anatma consists of three bodies. We're also going to see the same three bodies in different, from different angle as five different layers of personality. You're going to see that. The same three bodies, okay, are analyzed from the functional, from the standpoint of functions, from different angle as five different layers of personality. What are they? Listen. Pancha koshaha panchakam sharira trayam we say. Similarly we also say pancha koshaha arpa. Pancha koshaha means five sheets. Five sheets means five layers of personality. Why every layer of personality is said to be a koshaha? See, koshaha means any sheath, any bag. Now every sword has a kosha, the sheath. It covers, isn't it? Any sheath covers. Like that, this every layer of personality cannot really cover the Atma, but it seemingly, and okay, it seems to be covering the Atma. See, wave, the name and form wave, name and form wave can never cover the water. Understand? But it seems to be covering the water. Therefore, I can say the name and form wave is as though the cover for the water. The name and form wave is as though the cover for the water. It never covers, it never can never hide or cover as though. Similarly, these five layers of personality are said to be sheaths because they are not really sheaths, they cannot cover the Atma. They are there as though covering the Atma. Therefore, these five layers of personality are meant by the word koshaha, pancha koshaha. So, pancha koshaha are nothing but the same three bodies, okay, the causal, subtle and gross bodies are again presented differently from different standpoint, from different angle based on the functions. Understand? So, pancha koshaha are also what? Anatma. They talk about the Anatma only. So what are the five pancha koshaha? We say Annamayaha koshaha. the first layer of personality is annamayaha koshaha, which is nothing but the sthula shariram. So sthula shariram and annamayaha koshaha mean the same. Then we have pranamayaha koshaha. I have to explain every kosha later on, okay? Now just know the names, it's enough. Pranamayaha koshaha, third, the second layer of personality. The third layer of personality is manomayaha koshaha. Fourth layer of personality is vijnanamayaha koshaha. And these three layers of personality together stand for the sukshma shariram or the subtle body. Annamayaha koshaha is equal to sthula shariram, the gross body. Pranamayaha, manomayaha, vijnanamayaha. Okay, say that. Pranamayaha, manomayaha, vijnanamayaha. These three layers of personality together stand for sukshma shariram, the subtle body. Then the last one, anandamayaha koshaha. What is left now? Karana shariram, causal body. Karana shariram or the causal body. Anandamayaha koshaha. This is how the three bodies which constitute the anatma, okay, which forms the part of the individual, is again divided into five layers of personality from the standpoint of the function, angle of function. Understood from the angle of functions. Is it okay? And we say here, what is annamayaha koshaha sthula shariram? Why is this physical body is said to be sthula shariram, gross, tangible, perceptible for all of us, we know. Why is it said to be annamayaha koshaha? When I say swarnamayam abharanam, golden chain, when you say, is nothing but made of gold. Swarnamayam abharanam. I say, jalamayaha samudraha. Jalamayaha samudraha. He says that mayaha, jalamayaha, that made of, something made of. It's nothing but that, to say that, jalamayaha samudraha. Similarly, it's annamayaha koshaha, when you say this gross physical body is nothing but modified form of the food. And not only why we say it's modified form of it, nothing but modified form of food means what? It is born of food, sustained by food. And when it falls also, it gets disintegrated and becomes, okay, and dissolves into food, becomes food for other beings. That's why it's called annamayaha koshaha. You can ask, how is it born? Born of the food essence. Born of food essence. The physical body is born of food essence. In mother's womb, the body was fed by the food eaten by the mother. Even before the conception, it was in the form of ovum, in the form of sperm. And what is sperm and what is ovum? Nothing but modified form of the food essence of the food eaten by the parents. So the parental food essence alone is what? Is born of that. And it was growing into a full-fledged body in mother's womb, enjoying the food eaten by the mother. After being born also is what? It is sustained by what? Food. Till the last breath through intravenous also. And totally nothing, the Udanaha fights against, say, allowing anything to go inside, then the quits, prana quits, then it is cremated or buried or thrown away, or then it gets disintegrated. We saw in the first thing, this is born of five elements. Understand? Five. That's why we say food means what? Any vegetation is food, and vegetation is what? Nothing but, is elemental product. And this again, this gets disintegrated, again becomes minerals, again some new plant is born there, and then it is eaten by some other being. And so it's food. So it's called annamayaha koshaha. This is physical body. Even when you understand, analyze this physical body, you are very objective. This is the gross body. And this is the calm. So you say, it's a five elemental prapancha, okay? You say, pancha bhautikam shariram. What? This physical body, when you say it's annamayaha koshaha, born of food, sustained by food, disintegrates into what? Elements again becomes, resolves into food, means this, anything food is what? Elemental. Anything born of food also is what? Elemental. And so it's born of five, combination of five elements. It also has some punyam because of which it is just born. That is grass body. Annamayaha koshaha. And next we have pranamayaha koshaha. What is pranamayaha koshaha? We have to remember here, all this pranamayaha, manomayaha and vijnanamayaha, all the three layers of personality together constitute the sukshma shariram. When I said, you understand, I told you, sukshma shariram consists of, remember that, I told you, 16 aspects or factors. And here we have to say here, listen, the five pranamayaha means what? Pranamayaha koshaha is equal to, you can say, kriya shaktihi, the power of activity, the capacity to act, the power of activity, kriya shaktihi. Any kriya, any activity is possible because of the prana shakti, the pranamayaha koshaha. Why you need energy? The food you eat should be converted into energy. Only if you are energetic, any function is possible in the body. Thinking is possible, knowing is possible, okay, and the movements are possible. Any activity is possible. Otherwise, nothing is possible. For kriya shaktihi. For five physiological functions, five physiological functions and five organs of actions, totally 10. Of the 16 aspects of the sukshma shariram, five physiological functions and five powers of organs of actions, 10 of them together constitute pranamayaha koshaha. The physiological layer of personality. Okay, these five together. And next is what? Manomayaha koshaha. Manomayaha koshaha means mind, manaha. Manaha means not all the aspects of mind. Just take only one aspect of mind here, the emotional side of the mind, the emotional faculty or the emotional side of the mind, antahkaranam, emotional faculty plus five sense organs. Powers of organs of action already been connected to pranamayaha koshaha. But five sense organs, five powers of organs of actions, and the emotional faculty, together six, the six aspects of the subtle body, together constitute what? This emotional, okay? You say emotional or psychological, no, layer of personality. Emotional layer of personality. You say emotional faculty plus five powers of organs of knowledge, or sense organs. Six of them together. Then we have next is, and you can ask the question here, why the emotional faculty is connected to sense organs. Emotional faculty, when I say, for one to have anger, you know, or get frustrated, to upset, you know, to be moody, all those things are possible, or to be feel elated, or to feel dejected, all emotional side. That is possible only if there is a desire. For desire, all mainly emotional faculty stands for desire. See, any all the different anger, elation, depression, all these together which come as a part of the emotional faculty. Now they're possible only if there's something called desire. Okay? Desire. So how can desire for a given thing arise? If I have to have desire for something, I should know that some object is existing. How can I have desire for rambutan if I do not know what rambutan is? Until Shiva Shaktima brought me rambutan, I never knew what. Okay, of course I knew before that also. That's what she brought. Okay, therefore first I should see, I should perceive, I should know. This is a fruit, red in color. I have put it into my mouth, eat it. Oh, sweet, nice. Perception of a given object, the taste of it, color of it, looks of it, no, smell of it. Something I should know about an object. I should appreciate. I should like it. Only then I can have liking for it. If I do not know what the taste is, what the color is, what the fragrance is, how can you have a fragrance, the desire for some nice incense stick which has come to the market newly, if you do not know what it is? You should have known about it, no? Therefore, desire is always possible. Desire for a given object is possible if you already have the knowledge of a given object. And knowledge of a given object is possible only if you have already seen or known or perceived the object. Therefore, always emotional side of the mind, emotional faculty is connected to the sense organs. Understand? Therefore, emotional faculty plus five powers of organs of knowledge or sense organs, six of them together constitute what? Manomayaha koshaha. Is it clear now? Emotional layer of personality. Then we have next vijnanamayaha koshaha. And vijnanam stands for buddhihi, the intellect, the reasoning faculty. So manomayaha stands for mind and sense organs. Here intellect and sense organs. Intellectual faculty, reasoning or thinking, reasoning or knowing faculty, what? Intellect actually, the buddhi of the antahkaranam, plus same five sense organs. Sense organs, these organs of knowledge, the powers of sense organs, organs of knowledge are linked to both mind and intellect. Even to have desire for something, you should know what is available. But you cannot have desire for all the objects you know. You know, you see through your eyes so many things. But you may not have desire for all the objects you see, all the objects you hear about. And always your buddhi, we think and we calculate we see, we scheme, what is the advantages of having something, what is the usefulness of it, is it okay, does it tally with my budget? We have to see so many things, and some desires we drop, some we filter desires, some we fulfill, some we drop. We don't have desire for all the objects we perceive. Okay, therefore always the buddhi, the reasoning faculty is also connected to what? The sense organs. So the reasoning or the thinking or the knowing faculty plus the five sense organs together constitute vijnanamayaha koshaha. It's very clear now, the three koshas together constitute the sukshma shariram. Now we have the last one is what? Anandamayaha koshaha. Anandamayaha koshaha is nothing but karana shari, kind of to karana shariram, the causal body. Then I have to explain both, I think. Explain both. But now you know this much. Is it clear now? You have understood the anatma in two different forms, as three bodies or as five different layers of personality. You can either say three bodies or you can say five different layers of personality. All of them are what? The same thing, but they constitute the anatma. And here we say, what is the nature of the anatma? Now we know the nature of the atma. Atma is of the nature of knowing, atma is of the nature of timelessness, atma is beginningless, endless, self-existent, uncaused, causeless. Understand? We saw all that we saw, but here we have to understand this anatma, the karana shariram, or the anandamaya kosha, we say, what is the nature of the anatma? Anatma also is beginningless. Oh my God, understand? The karana shariram, not, I don't say about the other shariams. Anatma of the three shariams, the annamaya kosha, of the sthula shariram and sukshma shariram, leave them. But go to the karana shariram. Karana shariram also is what? Beginningless. This sthula shariram has a beginning and an end. It undergoes changes. Sukshma shariram also has, understand, is beginningless but also undergoes changes. But what about the karana shariram? Karana shariram has no beginning. It has also no end. When I say no end means what? It is not created. The karana shariram is the causal, okay, it's a material cause. And it has no beginning. It is not destroyed. It's also not created. Atma does not create the anatma, the causal matter. Therefore, atma does not destroy the causal matter also. Understand? Therefore, it is not created. It is not destroyed for good. But what is one? But the main thing is this anatma, the matter is of the nature of constantly undergoing changes. It is the nature of changing. So change is the unchangeable nature of the anatma. It will be constantly undergoing changes. The causal matter. Therefore, what about this physical body or the gross body, subtle body? The gross body or the subtle body are nothing but modified form of, or the manifestations of the causal body. Understand? Modified form of the, when I say this ocean is the modified form of the water, manifestation of the water. Similarly, this subtle body and the gross body are what? Evolved, manifested forms of the its own cause. We do not know what the cause is. Okay? we simply say there's a subtle causal matter. We'll understand later on. And that is why this physical body also is constantly undergoing changes. So this, this is anatma. We'll see the nature of the anatma in detail in the following class. But now we understand this much. This is the individual anatma. This is the individual atma. Next class we are going to see the nature of everything. Because with the books I'll start. I give you the books, then I can explain to you what is the nature of the subtle body, what is the nature of gross body, what is the nature of the causal body, and what is the nature of the five different layers of personality, what happens, everything we'll see in detail with the textbook next class. But now you know, this is Atma, this is Anatma. And then one thing I had to understand, this Anatma has no independent existence. These three bodies, the anatma which forms the part of the individual, consisting of these three bodies, is what? Is a material product. Matter and the material products, matter in its unmanifest form, matter in its manifest form, so subtle and gross bodies, what? Has no independent existence. Why it has no independent existence? Because it is of the nature of inertness. It is of the nature of inertness. Tamil we have beautiful word sadam. Sadam means what? Jadam. In Sanskritam we call it jadam. In Thuya Tamil we say sadam. Jadam. Jadam. Jada is the word. Jadyam. Jadata means inertness. So this anatma has no independent existence, and anatma is of the nature of inertness. Anatma, the matter in causal form, unmanifest form as a karna shariram, the matter in its manifest form, the subtle and gross forms together, is of the nature of inertness. It has no independent existence. And it is of the nature of undergoing changes. Constantly it undergoes changes, subject to change. So change is the unchangeable nature of the anatma, this of the nature of constantly undergoing changes. It keeps on modifying. Always, matter is always available in different forms. Previously, it was another form. After some time, it will be another form, undergoes changes. That is why, when you take a piece of wood, see the big tree, cut into pieces, big blocks, big logs of wood. And cut the logs of wood into many sheets of wood, and again cut them into something else, but you make into two small pieces, burn them into ashes, again it continues to be exist in different forms. It continues to exist in some other form. So always, this way matter is neither created nor it is destroyed, it constantly undergoes changes, it always exists but in different forms. The change or the modification of the form on the part of the form of the matter is called death of the one form and birth of the new form. The change of one form, from one form into another form is called what? Death of the previous form, birth of the new form. But there is no such thing called total destruction of anything in the which is part of the material universe. That is the nature of the matter. So it constantly undergoes changes. It is of the nature of inertness. It has no independent existence. And what is the Atma? Atma is of the nature of knowing, jnana swarupam, and it is eternal. It is also eternal, beginningless and endless, but it is of the nature of changelessness. See, matter is of the nature of undergoing changes, Atma is of the nature of changelessness. And Atma has independent existence. Atma, the consciousness, does not depend upon the Anatma for its existence. Whereas Anatma exists depending upon the Atma. Atma is of the nature of changelessness, Anatma is of the nature of undergoing changes. And Atma is pure consciousness of the nature of knowing, Anatma is of the nature of inertness. Look at this. What is dependent, what is independent? You know that very well. And inertness means what? Not knowing its own existence. Tannirupai tane ariyamaye jadatthanmai. An object being ignorant of its own existence is what? Inert in nature. That's what is inertness. That is why we can go to the doctor also can start, decide to operate, do bypass or a kidney transplant, anything without asking the permission of the heart or kidney. Understand? If there is self-conscious in every organ, come on, who are you to touch me? That will also ask me. Understand? Oh my God, everything is inert. Only self-conscious being can decide everything. Come on, I want to transplant this, I want to take this kidney and remove this and put it elsewhere. It has to function. Look at this. Understand, this is the nature of this is Atma, this is Anatma. And that which is dependent is said to be, that which has dependent existence is Mithya. That which has independent existence is Satyam. We'll come back and see next class. So we have only done the individual analysis 50%. We'll continue because we have to analyze all other layers of personality, etc.